Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Dalid. We're holding on daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the two dots and daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, about 12 lines before the end of the page. Amar of Yehuda, Matzino Shem Katan Shem Gadol. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for that continued sponsorship. And today's daf is going to discuss Aleph Beis. The majority of the daf is going to discuss the shape of the letters and the meaning of the letters, the order of the letters, why it is that we have certain letters that are that change in form when they come at the end of a word as opposed to what they are at the beginning of a word. A lot about the letters of the Aleph Beis. That is the entirety of Amud Aleph. It's all about the Aleph Beis. And then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to go back to discussing the Malacha of Kosev. And we're going to go through a number of different circumstances that one is Chayiv for Kosev in a number of different circumstances where one is potter from the malacha of Kosev. So let's begin at the two dots on Kuf Gimlam Beis. Am Rabbi Yehuda Matzino Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. So Rabbi Yehuda said, if you write a Shem Katan Mishem Gadol, such as Shin Mem from the word Shimon or from the word Shmuel, so Rabbi Yehuda said you're going to be that is Chayiv as well. So says Mar Mi Dami, how can you compare a Mem at the end of Shin Mem when you just write the word Shin Mem, that's a closed Mem. That's a Mem that appears at the end of a letter. So a Mem de Shem Sasum, Mi Dami Mem de Shem Sasum, Mem de Shimon Pasuach. How can you compare the two? The Mem of Shame is a closed letter. The Mem of Shimon is Pasuach. So if you intend to write Shimon and you wrote two letters, you would have written a Mem Pasuach and not a Mem Sasum. So how can Rabbi Yehuda say that Shame of Shin Mem is a Shame Katan? It's not a Shame Amiskayim on its own. It's not a shame that would ever last on its own in any other context because it wouldn't be written that way at all. Some of Chisla Zosamera, Sosam Aso Pasuach, Kosher, from the fact that that Rabbi Yehuda calls Shem Mishimon, a Shem Katan Mishem Gadol, that implies that Shin Mem, as it would be written in the word Shimon, is something that is Miskayim. So you see from there that if you were to write in Tefillin, in Mezuzah, in the Sefer Torah, if a Sofer were to write a Shem, a Mem Pasuach, in a place where a Mem Sosum is called for, that it would be Kosher, and therefore Shem is considered to be something that's Miskayim Bifnei Atzmo, even though it has a Mem Pasuach in it. So it says, they ask Rav Chista that the Braisa tells us when it comes to writing Tefillin and Mezuzah, the Torah says Uchsavtam, that the Torah uses the word Uchsavtam and Chazal Darshan for that Uchsavtam is a combination of two different words, Shetek Siva Tama, that you're supposed to write in a complete way, in a totally proper and complete way, and therefore Sofer needs to be makbid on a number of things about how to write the Hebrew language, such as Shalo Yichtov Alfin Einin, he cannot write the letter Aleph like the letter Ayin and Ayin Alfin, nor the letter Ayin like the letter Aleph. The reason we need to warn about this, even though Aleph and Ayin do not look alike at all, is because they do sound alike. So they're not exactly the same sound. That's a mispronunciation. What we do when we pronounce them exactly the same way, Ayin is a little more guttural. It's a little closer to a gimel in a certain sense, whereas Aleph is just a flat kind of sound. But they're close. They're close enough that people would make a mistake. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah and Daf Chavdal and Beis. And therefore, one might confuse them with each other when it comes to spelling. People often have a typo where they'll write an ayin in place of an aleph or an aleph in place of an ayin. Beizin kafin, kafin beizin. That's not on account of them sounding the same way, but on account of them looking very similar to each other. A beizin a chaf. Gamin sadin, sadin gamin. Tzadien Gimel, Dalsin Ration, Ration Dalsin, Hein Chasin, Chasin Hein, Chasin Hey, Vavin Yudin, Yudin Vavin, Yudin Vav, it's just a little bit of an extension of the leg, and the Yud turns into a Vav. Zainin Nunin, Nunin Zainin, to confuse a Zain with a Nun Sophis, the end of Nun, which is just a continuation of the line of a Zain. Tessin, payin, payfin, it calls it pifin tesin. Tes and a pay could be confused with each other. Kfufin, pshutin, pshutin, kfufin. And then it mentions those letters that have to be bent should not be made straight, and those that have to be straight are not supposed to be bent. And then the Brisa goes on to tell us, memin, samchin, samchin, memin, stumin, psuchin, psuchin, stumin. A mem and a samach should not be confused for each other, and also that which is written sasum should not be written pasuach, that which is written pasuach should not be written sasum. That's the basis of the kash, is just that last line over there, that how could we say that Shemi Shimon is a ksava meskayim b'makom acher, if after all Shem would be with an endomem, and we in Shimon it's a regular mem, it's a mem pasuach. So over here in the Bryce, so we said that, must be that they're interchangeable. Here in the Bryce, it's explicit that they're not interchangeable. But the Bryce continues before we go to answer that question. Parsha psucha lo yasen a stuma. If you have a parsha psucha, you're not allowed to make it a stuma. Stuma lo yasen a psucha. And a stuma should not be made into a psucha. There is space that the Torah requires in between different parshios. It's just that there's a difference between a stuma and a psucha, is that a psucha is it stays, it leaves blank space until the end of the line, and the next parsha begins on the next line. A parsha stuma just leaves space in between the end of one parsha and the beginning of the other parsha, but it could be on the same exact line. Kasva kshira osha kasav es hashira kayotziba osha kasav shalo bidyo. If a person writes like a shira, writes any other part of Torah in the format of a shira is ariach al gabe levena, like the writing of Az Yashir, where there are lots of blocks of empty space in between, or he writes a shira like the rest of the parshios, meaning he writes as Yashir or Shiras Hazinu or any of the other parts of Torah that are meant to be written as a shira, but he writes it like any other parsha. Osha kasav shalo bidyo, or he writes with something other than the normal black ink. Osha kasav es haskaros bezahav, or he writes the Shemos Hashem in gold in order to highlight the Shem Hashem. Hare elu yganezu. All of this requires geniza. These are kisvei kodesh that are not ra'ui to be read. They're not ra'ui l'kriya, because this is all pasul. Now we said if he writes the Shemos Hashem in gold, so the Rishonim point out lav davka. If he writes the Shemos Hashem, the entire Torah has to be written bidyo and not with anything else. But no one would ever have a havamina to be mechabed other letters of the other words of the Torah. You would think that if someone was going to do that, he would do it with the Shem Hashem. So that's what we're highlighting. That's why Tafka gives the example of the Shem Hashem. So that's what the Kesef Mishnah writes. That the Brisa says that's also possible when you write it in Zahav. Also, the Beis Yosef points out that we're talking about where you put the Zahav on top of the Askaros that you've written Bidyo, and therefore by the rest of Kala Torah, the Sefer Torah won't become possible. Just scrape off the gold. Whereas by Shem Hashem, you don't have that option, because Shem Hashem, if you scrape off the gold that you wrote on top of it, you're being moch. So then you have a real problem, and that's why it's going to require geniza. When it comes to writing the askaros bezahav, so the Torah and the Beis Yosef have machlokas rishonim whether the apostle nein lo takana or yiganzu means ad sheyisake, until you fix it. Geniza of a sefer Torah that's worn out is done by kavura in a kli cheres near a Talmud Chacham in a Beis Hakvaros. The Gemara Megillah tells us, and it's machlokas whether you have to do that dafka, or it's not really a chova to do that. If a person has some other place to be gonez, in a house, in his backyard, in a box, or whatever, that's also, or in a Beis HaKnesses, maybe that's better than being gonez bekarka. It's just that if you don't have any other place to be gonez, to put it away in a safe and secure place, so then in a kavadik way, so then they were matir to be gonez bekarka. So that's machlokas achronim, is geniza bekarka of a worn out kisvei hakodesh, is that required that dafka must be geniza bekarka, like a chi of kvura that you'd have of a dead body, or it's no, you just have to put it away respectfully somewhere and not use it, and the chiddush is that even geniza bekarka is going to be mutter. But bottom line is, in this price, so going back to the Gemara, it's mefurash that a mem sasum and a mem pasuach are not interchangeable. So says Gemara, who the amar ki aitana, when Rav Chisda says it's kosher, he's holding like the following tana. Detanya, the Brisa tells us, as far as being mark of karbonos during bring the Yontav of Sukkos. Rav Yudah Ben Seira Omer Nemer B'Sheni. It says about the carbon that we bring on the second day of Sukkos. V'Niskehem B'Shishi, when it goes through the carbon that we bring on the sixth day. Unusachecha B'Shvi'i, on the seventh day. K'Mishpatam. And when it could have just said the V'Niska, and it could have said K'Mishpat. Saharei Mem Yud Mem. There's an extra Mem, an extra on Yom Sheni, an extra Yud on Yom Hashishi, and an extra Mem on Yom Hashvi'i. So Mayim Mikan Remez L'Nischamayim Min HaTorah. That's a remez to Nisach HaMayim Min HaTorah. So you see the Tana's darshaning the mem in the word viniskehem, which is a mem sasum, it's a mem sofis, as if it were a mem at the beginning of the word mayim, which is a mem pasuach. So mida pasuach vasal sasum kasher. Apparently we see from there that if you take a mem pasuach and you make it a mem sasum, it is kasher. That sasum nami sasum vasal pasuach kasher. So too when it comes to a mem sasum, if you turn it into a mem pasuach, such as shame, b'makom shame with a shin mem, as in Shimon, the way you would write it in Shimon, pasuach, instead of shin mem in a sasum way, the sefer is still going to be kosher. Says, well, mi dami, how can you compare this to Rav Chisda's Chiddush, to what the Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is darshaning about the Nisach HaMayim? Pasuach vaso sasum, when you have a pasuach that you make sasum, you write a mem sasum where it should have been a pasuach, ilu kema alilei, you're upgrading it, because a mem sasum is considered to be a holier mem. After all, Damar of Chis, the mem of Samach Shabaluchos, B'neitza Yuamdin, because the mem and the Samach and the Luchos were miraculous, since they were totally, they're totally closed, the Luchos were carved out through and through, entirely through and through, so there's no way that the mem or the Samach should have been able to stay in the Luchos. It was only miraculous that they were able to do that, so doesn't that make them a holier letter? And that's why the Ksiva is going to be kosher, when you write a mem sasum in place of a mem pasuach, because you've upgraded it. But if you take what should have been a mem sasum and instead you make it a mem pasuach, you have downgraded it. The end letters mem nun sadi pei chav were given to us by the Nevi'im. So the mem pasuach in place of mem sasum is written in a worse way, and therefore you shouldn't bring a raya from Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, who's machshir writing a mem sasum makom mem pasuach, that it works in the reverse as well. So we're back to our kasha and Rav Chisda. How could he say that a sasum asal pasuach is kasher? The Brisa says beferish that it's pasul, and you can't defend it by quoting Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira was talking about it in the reverse case. So says Gemara v'tizbra, you think to say that the letters Menatzbach were given to us by the Nevi'im, Vaksiv, that can't be. The Pasuk tells us in the Torah, Eila HaMitzvos. The Pasuk continues, Eila HaMitzvos Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Adonai Yisrael Bahar Sinai. So we darshan from the words Eila HaMitzvos, Shein HaNavi Rashi L'Chadish Tovar Me'ata, that a Navi is not allowed to be Mechadish anything. The whole Torah was given at Har Sinai. So how could it be that Nevi'im were Mechadish letters of the Torah? How could they be Mechadish letters that were not given at Har Sinai? Before the times of the Nevi'im, what does that mean? So what? So the shape of the letters is Torah? Mehechit Tesei that that's Torah. The Torah was given at Har Sinai. Who says the shapes of the letters were given at Har Sinai? No, absolutely the shapes of the letters were given at Har Sinai. Because it included in the mitzvahs of Torah is writing a mezuzah, writing Sefer Torah, writing tefillin. So obviously there had to be some way to do that, some way to form the letters in order to be mekayim those mitzvahs. So that was given, that was already given at Har Sinai. So if the tzofim were mechadish, a new way of forming the letters, they're changing mitzvahs haTorah. That's how the Pnei Yeshua explains the Gemara's question over here. That it can't be that they changed the way to form the letters, because that affects actual mitzvos in the Torah. So that's the Gemara's kasha. So it says Gemara, Ela mi hava hava. No, it must be that all the osios, the psuchos, the stumos, they all existed. Meida lo hava yadin he beemsa teva he besof teva. What they didn't know is which one belongs where. Which one belongs in the middle of a word and which one belongs at the end of a word. Vasu tzofim takninu. And the tzofim came, the Nevi'im came along, they were mesakein that a mem pasuach and the bent letters belong in the middle of a word, and the straightened letters, the ones that are longer, and the mem sasum belong at the end of a word. So all the letters were written in the luchos, and there's no maila to a mem sasum more so than a mem pasuach. They all made it into the luchos, and therefore you can say that Rav Chisda holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, and even if you write a mem pasuach in place of a mem sasum, the sefer is going to be kosher. So frak the gemara, vakati, What are you talking about? How could the Nevi'im be Mechadish? Which one to put in the middle of the word and which one to put in the end of the word? Meaning, obviously, they were doing something up until that point, and the Nevi'im were just Mechadish one way or the other. So Navi's not allowed to be Mechadish Davar. Ella. No, this must have been something that they did receive and at Har Sinai, and they had forgotten, and they wrote all types of letters both in the middle and at the end of the word, and then the Nevi'im came along and were miyaseid a certain way to do it. So the maskana, it turns out that there's machlokas tanaim when it comes to a mem pasuach to write a mem pasuach in a sasum way or the opposite, or the mem sasum in a pasuach way, where the brisa that we had tells us that the same is going to be possible. Rabbi Yehuda Seira holds that if you write a mem sasum b'makom a mem pasuach, the sefer is going to be kosher. So the sheet of Rav Chista is you could prove from Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira in Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah that even if you write a mem pasuach b'makom a mem sasum, the sefer is also going to be kosher because they were all in the luchos. It's not that one is holier than the other. So you see in the Gemara that even Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira would hold that way. So it says Gemara Gufa Amar Rav Chista mem v'samach shabluchos b'neis hayu amdin. So we had mentioned in the course of this conversation that the mem and the samach and the luchos miraculously stood. So Amrav Chista Ksav Shabluchos Nikra Mi Bifnim V'Nikra Mi Bachutz. The writing on the luchos could be read from both sides. Kigon Navuv Buvan. That if it said Navuv on one side, it could be read as Buvan on the other side, meaning the letters were just reversed. So Bahar Rahav. If it said Bahar on one side, it would say Rahav on the other side. Saru Viras. Again, Saru would just reverse the letters. So you see the Kika of the letters, the engraving of letters was all the way through and through, and that's why it took a miracle from the mem and the samach shabaluchos to stand. Now the big problem, the big kasha, the Rishonim already point out over here is all of these examples. Tosis points out all of these examples that the Gemara is giving of if you had this letter in the luchos, then it would be read in the reverse from the other side. Is that none of these words were actually in the luchos? All the examples of words that we're giving are words that do not appear in the Aseres Hadibra. So Rashi writes, we're just giving examples. We're just trying to say that you would be able to read the letters in the opposite direction. Tosos says, that's strange. Why would the Gemara pick words that were not in the Luchos? So the Lach Metoda, one of the Achronim, suggests, based on what the Yerushalmi says, that the Luchos were a burden of 40 sa'ah, and the ksav was sovel them, was lifting them, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to hold them. That's why as soon as the letters came off, they became too heavy. The luchos themselves became too heavy because the chet of Klal Yisrael caused the pricha of the osios, caused the letters to come off, and the luchos then became very, very heavy, and that's how he dropped the luchos, and they broke. So that's what Rav Chista is being merames when he says, Navuv Bahar Saru, that the osios that were chakukos and the luchos were Saru, were removed by Har Sinai, meaning it's a subliminal message that the Gemara is trying to tell us, that the Navav means that which is engraved, was Bahar, by the mountain, was Saru, that they disappeared. It's not saying that these words actually appeared on the Luchos. There's always a reason, there's always something clever that the Gemara is trying to teach us, even in a simple example that the Gemara is trying to give. Now, of course, the notion of Ksav Ashuris was not popularized until much later. At this point, it was Ksav Ivri that were being used, so all of the discussions that we're having right now don't really make sense in the Ksav Ashura sense. So some of the Rishonim suggest, no, the Torah was given with Ksav Ashuras. We just didn't know it. We just didn't recognize that font until much, much later. So we would look at the Luchos, we didn't know how to read it. We need Moshe Rabbeinu to decode it for us. But the Gemara is working with the assumption that the Luchos actually had Ksav Ashuras and not Ksav Ivri. So the Gemara now brings some Agarita about that were taught by young children about the letters of the Aleph Beis. So young boys have come now to the Beis Medrash, and they're saying things that even in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, no one had said anything like it. Such wonderful chidushim about the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina. Aleph Beis tells us that you're supposed to that a person should learn Torah. Gimel Dalis is a remez to Gimel Dalim, that a person person should do chesed with poor people. He should take care of aniyim. My time pshuta kari the gimel gabe dalis. Why is it that the left leg of the gimel extends toward the dalis dalit and not toward the beis? Shekein darko shel gom lechasadim loritz achar dalim. Because someone who's interested in doing chesed goes out of his way to try to look for the need. If a person wants to do chesed, he's going to run after the need. He's not going to wait till the need comes to him. So he's going to look for poor people to be able to help out. My time pshuta kari didalis legabe gimel. And why is it that the leg of the dalid that is extended a little bit toward the gimel? Delimtzi le nafshe, because the ani should make himself available and shouldn't overburden the bal chesed to run after him. Well, my time mahadar ape didalid. Why is the megimel? Why is the dalid facing away from the gimel? So it's to tell the gomel chesed, the person who's doing chesed with the poor person, to litin le betzina, that he should do it in a very private way. So it shouldn't be embarrassing. So don't give the tzedakah in a more tzenua kind of way. Hey vav, zesh moshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zayin ches tes yud kaf lamid. So that tells us, if you're lomei Torah and you're gomel chesed with poor people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is zanoscha v'chanoscha umeitiv lecha v'nosin lecha yerusha. That's zayin ches tes and yud. He gives you nourishment and he gives you chayin and he'll give you goodness and he'll give you yerusha. V'kosh lecha keser li'olam haba. The chafetz will have a crown for you in Olam Haba. All of that is part of the Nutrikon of the Alphabet. Mem Psucha, Mem Stuma, Maimer Pasuach, Maimer Sasim. That's something HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Rishos to darshan certain things, and then there are certain things like Maisa Merkava where they have to remain Sasim, that they have to remain closed off. Nun Kfufa, Nun Pshuta, the two forms of the letter Nun, Ne'eman, the Kafuf, Ne'eman, Pashut, that it's trustworthy for a person, a kasher, a person who needs to be kafuf and an anav in this world, and through that, that trustworthy and good and honest person is going to be pashut in Olam Haba. He's going to be upright in Olam Haba. He's going to be able to stand proud in Olam Haba if he stands with an anivus in Olam Hazeh. Samach ayin, smoch aniyim. That means to support aniyim. Lishna achrina, simanim asem betorah. Others say, no, we already covered the aniyim with the gimel dalid. No, simanim that you should make simanim by the Torah, kneosa, and through that you'll be kona Torah. That it's important to have remazim as a way of mnemonics, as a way of remembering the different parts of the Torah. Someone was just telling me yesterday they were asking about the Zichru program where it has all these funny mnemonics in order to remember where the sugyas are. So someone said to me, do Gedolim recommend it? The Gemara recommends it. It recommends coming up with as many mnemonics as you can to be able to remember your learning. So, and the way memory works is the crazier the mnemonics are, usually the better, more effective it is. Usually the better it is as far as remembering one's learning. Pei kfufa, pei pshuta. If you have the bent pei and the straight pei, pepasuach pesasim. That's an open mouth in order to express Torah, and a closed mouth when there's someone that's greater than you who's there to teach the Torah. So you shouldn't overstep your bounds. If there's someone that's more capable, so step out of the way and let the person who's more capable say the shir. Tzadik kufa tzadik pshuta, tzadik kafuf tzadik pashut. Tzadik kufa tzadik pshuta is a remnant of the fact that a tzadik has to be bent over in olam hazeh, and through that he'll stand up upright in olam haba. So asks about tzadi, hainu neman kaf of neman pashut. That's the same thing as neman. Why is a tzadi any different than a neman? We're talking about a person who's an upstanding person, who's a very good person. So in this world, he should carry himself with anivus, and then in the next world, he'll be able to stand tall and proud. So hosef hakosuf kfifa al kfifaso mikadosh nitna Torah b'menod rosh, that the Torah was given with an extra dose of humility. So that's why we dafka have a double remez in the aleph beis itself to the level of humility that the Torah requires. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma. The Torah was nitna be'ema bereta subazia. So it was that's the sense of trepidation that we have because of our anivus in receiving the Torah. So the Gemara in Tainus says that the Torah is nidma lemayim because mayim always goes to the lowest place, and the person who is the greatest anav is most likely to become the greatest talmud chacham, is most capable of receiving the Torah. Torah. That's the way it's always been. Mishemes Rebbe Batla Anava. Rebbe, who's the one that gave us all of Torah Shebal Peh, was the symbol of Anivus in Torah Shebal Peh. And in Torah Shebichsav, who was the symbol of Anivus, Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Mikal Adam. The one who gave us Torah Shebichsav was the Anav Mikal Adam. It's not a coincidence. It's the Torah is most likely to be Miskayim with he who is most humble. Kuf Kadosh, the letter Kuf is a remez to Kadosh, meaning Takarosh Baruch Hu. Reish Rasha, and the letter Reish is a remez to Rasha. My time Madar Ape the Kuf me Reish. Why is it that the Kuf turns away from the Reish? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Ein Ani Yochel Istakel BeRasha. Hashem says I can't look at the face of a Rasha. So the Kuf, which represents Kadosh Baruch Hu, turns away from the Reish. My time Madar Tani the Kuf Tagi the Kuf Legabe Reish. And why is the tag of the Kuf turning toward the Reish? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Im Choser Bow and Yikosha lo Kesser Kamosi, then I'll still give him a chance. If he does tshuva, I'll put a crown on his head like my own crown. Well, my time I carried the kuf tuluya, and why is the leg of the kuf hanging in midair? Because if he would do tshuva, he can enter into the opening in the kuf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept him with open arms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leaving himself open so that if the Rasha does tshuva, he can always come back. V'leil bahach, why can't the person who does tshuva go under the leg of the kuf? Why does he have to and enter through the entrance that's more on the right side and the bottom part, the bottom open part? Why does he have to go through the open part on the left side of the kuf? So that if a person is interested in becoming a Rasha and a Leitz, so there will be a Pesach of Tumah that's opened up for him. But if a person is interested in becoming a Tzaddik and an Anav, not only will we allow him, will we open the door and allow him to do so, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Misayeyalo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a nudge, he'll give him a push. And therefore, yes, it's possible for the Baal Tshuva to come in from the bottom, but we want to leave a direct line. We want it to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make it as easy as possible for a person to do tshuva. We're always encouraging tshuva. So it says in Gemara, Shin Sheker Tav Emes. Shin represents Sheker, the letter Tav represents Emes. My time is Sheker Mikra Van Mile. Why is it that the letters of Sheker are consecutive letters in the Aleph Beis? Kuf Resh and Shin come one right after the other, whereas Emes Merach Gamile, the letters of Emes are the two extremes of the Aleph Beis and the middle of the Aleph Beis, the Aleph and the Tav of the two extremes and the Mem in the middle, because Shikra Shchiach Kushta Lo Shchiach, because it's very easy to find Sheker. When you're looking for Sheker, it's always the next letter, it's right there, you can find Sheker very easily. To find truth, that's a little harder, that's not as commonly found. My time is Shikra Chadakari Koi. Why is it that all of the letters of the word sheker all stand on one leg? They're all they don't have a solid foundation. The kuf has just that one leg that sticks down. The resh has only one leg. And apparently, what we're saying is that the shin comes to a point at the bottom, that it doesn't have a flat bottom, that it also stands on one leg, because the emes malabin libune and emes are much more sturdy letters. They're letters that are much more structurally sound, that they would stand up on their own. So kushakai shikra lokai, because even though emes is hard to find, when you find it, it sticks. Whereas Sheker is Ein Lo Raglayim. Sheker doesn't stick. Rabbi Chanuch Teller told me, I think he said that Rav Meir Shapiro saw someone selling socks right outside the Polish Parliament. And he said, no need to sell socks outside the Polish Parliament, because Sheker is Ein Lo Raglayim. So there's nowhere to put the socks. I don't know. Okay, so the Gemara brings up until now what the young men were darshaning about the Aleph Beis. At Bash, now we darshan not just the letters in order, but Ad Bash, a remez to the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu says to the Rishayim in Lashon of Tema, Osi Ta'av Asav Elo, you rejected me, and you want me to wait and hope that you're going to return from your rishos. Bash, Bilo Chashak, you didn't have a cheshek to come to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shmi Yochel Olav, my shame should be chal on you. Gimel Reish, Gufo Timei, Arachim Olav, you're Metame your Guf, you want me to have Rachmanis on you? Dalit Kuf Dak Dalusi Noal Dalsosi Noal. You close my doors. Karnav La Gadaya. I shouldn't cut off your glory. I shouldn't cut off your splendor. That's the lashon of pasuk in Tehillim. Kol Karni Rishayim Agadaya. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to cut off the Karni Rishayim. Karni Rishayim means their glory. He's going to take them down from their glory. What does it mean that they lock their door? That they close the door? So it means that, remember, we spoke about the Kuf is what the Achron point out, we spoke about the Kuf being an open door, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves the door open for them to do tshuva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Rishayim, I didn't just leave a door open at the bottom. My mamish made it as easy as possible. I left a second door wide open for you. And you ignored that. You acted as if it were closed and you never did tshuva. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be cut down their keren. Ad kan midas rishayim, al midas tzadikim, that's as far as rishayim are concerned. But the ad bash also reflects a message to tzadikim. Ad bash imata bosh, if you're too embarrassed to sin, then gardak, then imata osakein, gor bedok, your nefesh is going to be tied up under my kisei hakavod in the dok shamayin, and hatzvaf, the chatzitza aviben chalaaf, there's going to be a chatzitza between, there's going to be a barrier between Hashem's anger and you. Zachas 10, ve'inatam izdazea mina satan, and then you will not have to shake from the satan, you have nothing to worry about. Yam kol, amr sar shel gehenim, t'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, liyam kol, the sar shel gehenim says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to my yam, give everything, meaning put all the entire world, even Klal Yisrael in gehenim. So the continuation of the discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Sar of Gehenim is based on the order of the Aleph Beis. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achas Batai Gif, Ani Chas Aleihem, I'm going to have Rachmanas on Klal Yisrael, Mnei Shabbatu Begif, because they rejected adultery. Dakat Dakim Heim, Kenim Heim, Tzadikim Heim, that they are pure, and they are truth speakers, and they are righteous. Chalak Ein Lecha Chelek Ben, and therefore you have no chelik in them. Omar Zan Shas, Omar Gehenim Lefanim, so Gehenim responds back to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, Mari Zanini Mizara Shalshes, that provide me with nourishment from the other nations of the world, from the Zara Shalshes. So Amar Lo, Hashem says back to the Satan, Albam, that you will not have a chelek in them, Gan Das, and not only that, Lehechon Alichon, Legan Hadas, you know where I'm going to put them? I'm going to put them in Gan Eden. Hey Ayin Vav Pei, Amra Gehenim Tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Oyef Anochi, I'm tired and hungry, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vatzchak, Halalu Zara Shel Yitzchak, these are the offspring of Yitzchak, and you don't get to take them. Tar Yashkat, so it means Tar, wait, and Yeshli Kitos Kitos, Shel Ovdei Chavim Shani Nosimach, because I have plenty of the Chavim, pairs of Ovdei Chavim that I'll give to you. When the Satan was asking for the Sar Shel Gehenim was asking me Zara Shel Sheis, so I misspoke. It wasn't Zara Shel Sheis meaning only the Umos Olam. Zara Shel Sheis is the offspring of Sheis, the son of Adam Arishon. So he's saying, be mefarnish me from everybody, from all the nations of the world, including Klal Yisrael. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka rejected that and said, no, you don't get a chelik in Klal Yisrael, until he finally gave him something by saying that you get the rest of the Umos Olam. It is interesting that we Dafka choose Sheis as opposed to Zara Shel Adam Arishon, because up until Enosh, the son of Sheis, there was no Avodas Chavim, there was no Mazalos in the world, because everyone was Ovid Hashem, until Enosh came and he started to do Avodah Zara, and started convincing other people to be kofar in the Borei Olam. That's what the Pasuk says, Vayikra Shmo Enosh Azucha Likro B'Shem Hashem, and Rashi says, Azucha Likro of Shemos HaAdam and Shemos HaAtzavim B'Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He made other things, called other things by names of God. So that's why the Sar of Gehenim says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me Mizara Shel Sheis. That's where Kfira started, and that's where Avodah Zarah spread into the whole world. And also give me Klal Yisrael among them, together with them. That was the Taina of the Sarah Shel Gehenim. So that's Amud Beis now. So now we're back to our regularly scheduled program to learn about the Malacha of Kosev. HaKosev Shtei Osios Be'alamechad. The person writes two letters, and he forgot that it was Shabbos, and he didn't remember in between writing the two letters. So Chayiv is Chayiv V'chatas. Kosev if he writes with any sort of lasting ink, al shnei kos is obvious, or he writes on two separate walls of a house, al shnei levachei pinkas, or on two sides of a notebook, ve'negin ze im ze, and you could read them together. It reads straight, chayiv. Then you're going to be chayiv. Hakosev al al-basar chayiv, a person writes on his body, he's chayiv. Hamisarit al-basar, if a person scrapes letters into his flesh, in the shape of letters, Rabbi Lazar mechayiv chatos v'cham poter. Rabbi Lazar says, you chayiv midar reis over kosev, and the chayiv say that you're absolutely poter. Kosev b'mashkin v'meperos b'avak terachim b'avak hasofrim b'kol davar she'enu miskayim. If you write with a kind of ink that is not miskayim, poter, then it's going to be poter. That was one of the suggestions for doctors that have to take notes in a hospital, is that they should use an ink that disappears after less than 24 hours. And then they can copy their notes over right after Shabbos, because the ink will still be there. That maybe at least they'll avoid malacha d'oraisa of kosev in such a way. But you have to define the term miskayim. What it means, how long does it have to be miskayim in order for it to be considered miskayim? Is it 24 hours? Is it till the end of Shabbos? What's considered miskayim? So la'achra yadov, a person writes in a backhanded fashion, he turns his hand upside down and writes like that, beraglo, or he writes with his toes, bepiv, or he puts the pen in his mouth and he writes like that, bemarpeko, he puts the pen in his armpit, and he writes that way, kosovo sachas samach luksav, uksav agaviksav, he writes another letter that was right next to another letter that was already written, and through that, he completes a word that has two letters in it, but he only wrote one just now on Shabbos, or Ksav al Gabi Ksav. He writes over on top of a previously written letter, Niskavin Lichtov Ches, and Kosov Shnei Zayin. If he wanted to write a Ches, and instead he wrote two Zayins, because he didn't connect the bridge between the two Zayins to make a Ches, Achas Baritz Vachas Bekoro, or he writes one letter on the ground and one on the ceiling, Kosov al Shnei Kosle Abayis, he writes on two walls of the house, but this time the two opposite walls of the house, not in a corner where you read one right into the other, or al shnei dape pinkas, on two different pages, two different sides of a notebook. So the ein negin zem zen, you cannot read them together. Potter, then you're going to be potter. Kosev osachas natrikun, if a person writes one letter, but the letter is supposed to signify a word. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Maseira mechayiv. Rabbi Yeshua ben Maseira says you chayiv because as long as people will understand it as a word, that's like writing an entire word. V'cham poter, and v'cham say, no, you're poter, you didn't write shtei osios, you only wrote one os. It's a remez, and people know how to read it as a full word. Yeah, but that's not the malacha. The malacha is to write a full word. That's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah. If a person writes kuf b'makom karban, or mem instead of meiser, Rabbi Chanan says a netrikin is a particular type of system of multiple of different types of letters that they use for the Sofrei HaMelech, meaning it's like the court reporters, right? Where there's a special skill of writing in shorthand that they type in that shorthand kind of way. So there is it's not just stam in your own language that you do, but it's something that's universally understood as a shorthand. You write a hey with a dash, and that's supposed to be understood as Hashem, right? So that's the machlokas over here. Whether that is a full malach of ksiva. Dio, diosa. So now the Gemara just identifies the different types of ink. Dio is diosa. Sam is sama. Sikra, amara, what is sikra? That's a red kind of ink. Amara barbachana, sakarta shma. It's called sakarta. Komos is koma. It's a type of sap from a tree. Kankantum, amara barbachana, amara shmuel, chartu du ushkafi. It's a black kind of thing that comes out from copper. So they use it for making shoe black. Ubekald over shoe roshim, and anything that leaves a mark. Lasuye mai. What do we add after we already gave all the examples of lasting ink? What are we adding when we say kald over shoe roshim? Lasuye hadutani. Rabbi Chanan iksava b'mei tarya. If you write with the water that comes out of a pri afatza, a certain type of pri, or the mei afatza, the water that comes out of afatzum gallnuts, kosher. It's going to be kosher because it is iksava meskayim. So if you write with them on Shabbos, you're chayiv. If it's kosher for writing a get, so then when it comes to writing on Shabbos, it's also going to be called kosev, and you're going to be chayiv. Tanya Rabbi Chiya, ksavo be'ever, if a person writes with lead b'shachar, or with the black from charcoal b'shichur kosher, with all of these things, it's going to be kosher because it's miskayim. So therefore, it's going to be kosher for writing a get. Hamisari tal b'saro. Then we learned that if you scrape letters into your skin, Rabbi Loza says you chayiv chatos and l'chamisari potter. Tanya Amr, Amar Lehen Rabbi Elazar L'Chamim. Rabbi Elazar said to the Chachamim, V'alo ben sitda hotzi k'shafim yimitzrayim b'shrita shal b'saro. You see that it's the normal way of writing, because ben sitda took kishuf, the kishuf spells out of Mitzrayim by scraping them in the skin. So Amar Lehen, the Chachamim said back to him, from that mice you can bring a raya that it's derech siva? Shota haya. He was insane. He was out of his mind. He did something that's not normal at all. V'ein mevin raya min hashotim. You don't bring a raya from crazy people. We said if you write next to an already existing writing and thereby complete that the word, so you're going to be pater from that. So man tana, who's the tana that teaches that you're pater? Amar Rava bar Rav Huna delo k'Rabbi Eliezer. That's against Rabbi Eliezer. Di Rabbi Eliezer ha'amar achas ala arig chayiv. Rabbi Elazar holds in the Mishnah that we have in tomorrow's daf that if you begin to weave a beggar on Shabbos, you're not chayiv unless you wove a full shear, but when part of it was already woven on Erev Shabbos, and now you're just adding to the weaving on Shabbos, even achas al arig your chayiv, because now you're completing it, you're making the full shear, you're being mashal in the shear. So Rabbi Eliezer would say the same is true for kosev, being mashal in the shear, by being mashal in a word, you're going to be chayiv. Ksav al gabi ksav, we then said in the Mishnah that if it's ksav al gabi ksav, you're going to be pater. So Mantano, who's the one that says that ksav al gabi ksav is pater? Amar Rav Chisda, delok Rabbi Yehuda. That's against Rabbi Yehuda. If you really needed to write the Shem Hashem and you intended to write the word Yehuda, and you intended to write the wrong word, but in your intention you messed up and you accidentally didn't write the Dalet, so you ended up with the Shem Hashem, but you did it without Kavanah for Kedusha Shem Hashem, so Mavr Lev Kulmus, just write over it again, Omekacho, this time having Kavanah the Kedusha, Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, that's called a Ksav, even though it's already over existing letters. The Chamor Ain't a shame in a muvchar. And the Chum say, no, you can't do that. So it turns out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, being mavir kulmos over existing letters is considered ksiva. So when you write on Shabbos in such a way, you're going to be chayiv because it's a real ksiva. And our Mishnah says that your pater is something like the Chachamim who say that havaras kulmos is not going to be machshir the original ksav because a ksav al gabi ksav is not considered to be a real writing at all. Okay, we'll stop there. But from tomorrow, we'll pick up with Tana. Okay, have a great day, everybody.